Hello and welcome to the Let's Talk Podcast. Let's Talk Podcast is a Christian-centric platform where we have conversations through Christ's eyes, and we have been going through the gospel. We did the first episode of this series last time, episode number 57. Today we get into episode number 58. My name is Mark Arodi. I'm not alone in the studio. I'm with Stanley Kavuka. On my left, how are you, Stan?
I'm doing well.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you. I love the energy.
Oh, goodness. I hope we keep it, this to the end. And we also have a guest who is now becoming a host soon, I hope so. Bill Dindi, how are you?
I'm very good.
Good to
very
see good. You again.
Good to see you too. Glad to be here.
Thank you so much. Yay. And so, guys, we started this series on the gospel. Mm-hmm. And last time, you guys did so well, just putting it so clearly on on the divine answer to the divine dilemma that why would a just, righteous, and a holy God forgive corrupted, fallen, frail men who deserve nothing else but damnation? Mm-hmm. And I think we did well just in answering that. Today, we're looking at a story that an event of history that happened over 2,000 years ago, estimated 2,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. We had someone coming here on earth and living with us. Mm-hmm. Hope we know the man.
We know the man.
to 2,000 years ago.
We know the man, and yeah. We are known by him.
Ah! Wow. Yeah. So we're talking about Jesus Christ, Bill.
Yeah.
And we want to get into understanding, Jesus Christ from the Old Testament perspective. How is that important? We talk of the prophecies that were made before his coming. Mm. And him finally coming, how is that important in his, in the preparation of, his coming and everything? And was it necessary for that matter? Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a good place to start.
Yeah.
Because it hits right at the heart of the question.
Yeah.
On what God is like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
Muslims argue that God is a monad, that God exists as one, mm-hmm. and that's it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Christians mm-hmm. assert that God is one, mm-hmm. but he's three mm-hmm. persons in one.
Yeah, sure.
Eternally coexisting.
Sure.
In theology, the word we use there from the affirmations of faith by some of the earliest church fathers, they say homoousios is the word that describes
homoousios. Is that Greek or Latin?
Yeah, that's Greek. Of one essence.
Okay.
The Father, the Son, and the Spirit mm-hmm. of one essence.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so it's important for us to appreciate
that
right from the beginning, mm-hmm. God has always existed as such.
Yeah.
So the birth of Jesus Christ mm-hmm. on planet Earth, like you say, maybe 2,000 years ago, thereabouts,
mm-hmm.
was not really the first time that we are seeing the sun in the scene. Mm-hmm. The sun has been there.
Wow.
In fact, it says, before your father Abraham was, I am. Is that John 8:58, I think?
Yeah.
Before your father, he has always been there.
Yeah.
John 1:1, again, John asserts the same idea that the Son has been there. In the beginning, the Son has been there with God during creation, God the Father, mm-hmm. during creation. Mm-hmm. And everything that was made through and by him.
By him,
So it's important for us to appreciate that, because mm-hmm. then it helps us see mm-hmm. that the Father, Son, and Spirit mm-hmm. are one. And that's mm-hmm. how God exists eternally. Mm-hmm. And when we proceed, I guess we'll get to a point where we will see why that is important.
Yeah.
Because in the redemptive story, it's important. Mm-hmm. It's important mm-hmm. that the Son be perfectly God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And we'll see why that is important as we proceed.
So the Son be perfectly God and be perfectly man.
Yes.
All this at the same time.
At the same
not
time.
Dropping any
yes.
and not getting in between.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Stan, Old Testament prophecy important, and I think I love how Bill has ensured that, the Son was always there.
Yeah.
The Son was over an idea that, these people have missed. Mm. So, because they have missed, let's look for the Son.
Yeah.
The Son has always been there. Stan, how is this important?
I think as Bill has put it,
yeah.
I think it's important to start with the triunity of God.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm currently reading a book. It's called Delighting in the Trinity by Michael Reeves.
Mm-hmm.
So this comes out very, very profoundly. Mm-hmm. He starts by saying that mm-hmm. how we see God, we see him not first as a creator, which he is, we see him as Father, right? Because it is the Son who reveals him, right? So for us, unlike the other religions who have a single person God, ours is a triune God, right? The Father who eternally loves the Son, right? And delights in him. So we have that fellowship, right? Even Genesis 1:1, when the earth is without void, formless, right? It says, let us.
Let us.
So it's important to affirm that our God is triune. And if he were not triune, I don't know how that redemptive story then would unfold. Right?
Yeah.
Because it's a
sure.
beautiful...
Sure.
It's a beautiful... Wow. Let me say tapestry of how God the Father so loves the Son. He gives him a people. The Son's love for the Son dies for those people. The Spirit love for the Son and the Father applies that redemption to his chosen people. Right?
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing. You said it's a good tapestry. You said so?
Yeah,
it's sure. a great tapestry. I just hope our listeners also able to be enlightened in terms of language. I think it's a good place to be. And the New Testament, in the book of 1 Peter, we see the Bible saying that it's a moment that even the prophets looked forward to, the coming of the Son, talking about the inheritance that can neither spoil nor perish nor fade. They looked forward to. Why so, Bill? I mean, why would they look forward to and... For us as humanity, I mean, we find it hard to marvel at what God has done, to marvel at this beautiful thing, to marvel at the good tapestry.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just the prophets.
Yeah.
I think it's Peter who says, even angels long to look into these things.
Yeah.
The redemptive story is amazing.
Yeah.
It is amazing.
Mm.
When you look at how the entire narration unfolds. The Bible actually says Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God crucified from the foundations of the earth. So that long before there was a problem, God had already designed a solution.
Wow.
In terms of just foresight and wisdom and omniscience. How beautiful is that? When you talk about angels talking to look, it's these things together. It's the cocktail of foresight and insight and perfect grace, like we were talking about last time, and mercy, and really just marveling why?
Wow.
You know, now we are exploring space very radically today.
So curious about it.
You know, for example, that NASA has been sending out. They've sent out probably the world's most advanced telescope of all time, the James Webb telescope that is fully unfurled now and is beginning to reveal some deep secrets from out there, from outer space, things that we did not know about. And of course, it's a marvel of science. As we speak today, we are having humans in the International Space Station 400 kilometers above our heads, spinning around, orbiting around the earth 18 times every day. We are seeing, these guys are seeing 18 sunsets and 18 sunrises every day. Wow. They stay there upwards of 6 months. We are having, and they move at, I think, 7.4 meters per second. I mean, it's amazing.
Wow.
We are going out there and we are discovering all these things. But one of the things that is becoming distinct the more we explore space is just how minuteness, how we are a tiny little speck in the grand scheme of things. We are a tiny planet in the solar system, which is one of the tiniest, in the Milky Way, which is one of the smaller of the galaxies around the world. We are not even a speck of dust in the vast scheme of things.
Wow.
Why would God care for us? Why would God move heaven and earth, literally, send his only begotten to come into this tiny little speck of dust to give his life for us.
Wow.
It's a thing of beauty. It's a thing that is truly a marvel, you know?
Yeah.
And that is why the gospel story really should get all of us marveling and saying, you know, like the psalmist, who are we?
Who are we?
Who are we that you would have mercy on us, that you would look to us with grace, that you placed us a little, you know?
Below angels.
Yeah, it is a thing of beauty.
It is a thing of beauty, and it's beautiful, Bill, how you're explaining it. And I love Christians can be bright as well. I mean, Bill is quite informed, and you know, just using science to explain the beauty of God, to explain the beauty of creation, and how, you know, marvelous the whole issue is. And guys, before we, you know, we consider coming to an end of this episode, there's something, the coming of Jesus Christ into the earth, and we see it happening through a Virgin Mary. Why is that essential to the doctrine of the gospel? Why couldn't it just be born of the Virgin, you know, of a, you know, why could, you know, Joseph just come to, with Mary, and we have Jesus being born? Perhaps Sandy can give a response, then Bill will share as well on the same. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's very crucial because of what I think theologians and Bill will perhaps share more on this.
Yeah.
I think all of us.
Yeah.
All of us born of Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Like our federal head is Adam, so we are born after his likeness.
Mm-hmm.
You know what Romans 5 12 says.
Yeah, sure.
But Christ is not born of that federal headship of Adam,
mm-hmm.
and so he is. He is born by the power of the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
and so that he does not come with a mad humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Like he is the Son of God,
mm-hmm.
fully God and fully man,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes the whole difference, because if he was born like every one of us,
mm-hmm.
then there is no way that he would satisfy the
mm-hmm.
the just demands of God. He would not keep the whole law for us, that he would not then be, as Hebrews would say, Hebrews 7,
mm-hmm.
be a holy and stained and perfect sacrifice.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
For us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think Bill would expound on that.
Mm-hmm. Sure, Bill can proceed.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
I think that's a very beautiful start to just unpacking that whole idea.
Yeah.
It's Genesis chapter 3, verse 15,
mm-hmm.
that I had quoted before.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, I will put an enmity between you and the woman, and this is God speaking,
mm-hmm.
and between your offspring and her offspring,
mm-hmm.
he shall bruise your head,
mm-hmm.
And you shall bruise
his heel.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah.
And so there's this idea that, and this is after the fall, right?
Yeah.
Man has fallen into sin,
mm-hmm.
and so God is exercising divine judgment
mm-hmm.
on account of man's sin. And mm-hmm. he says, the seed of a woman
mm-hmm.
will crush the head of the serpent.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole notion
mm-hmm.
of the seed of a woman is one that needs to be unpacked a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Like he has said mm-hmm. about the federal headship of Adam.
Sure. Uh-huh.
There's probably no other person
mm-hmm.
who can claim to be the seed
mm-hmm.
of a woman today.
Mm-hmm.
None.
Mm-hmm.
All of us are the seed of a man, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like even biologically speaking, we are the seed of men. Women provide the egg and the womb.
Yeah.
The men provide the seed, the sperm, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Jesus Christ is probably the only one that can lay claim to that fact.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the seed of a woman. He was born of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary,
mm-hmm.
and the Bible says that Jesus eventually was born.
Mm-hmm.
So a man was not involved in the picture. And I think that's what theologians call the proto-evangelica, the first instance
mm-hmm.
where there's been prophecy regarding the coming of Christ
mm-hmm.
that is given.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, it's given by God himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the fact that Jesus,
mm-hmm.
who alone can lay claim to being the seed of a woman,
mm-hmm.
he comes and crushes the head of the serpent.
Mm-hmm.
And someone says the head of a serpent is the business end
mm-hmm.
of the snake, of the serpent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
If you crushed the tail of a snake,
mm-hmm.
the snake could still move.
Yeah.
Those of us who've grown up in the country, you see a snake and you need to kill it, yeah. you don't go for the tail.
Yeah.
You go for its head.
You go for its head.
Deal with its head.
Yeah.
And you properly. Dealt. Yeah, sure. And it dies, stops yeah. moving and stuff. You dealt with it decisively.
Yeah.
And so it's very instructive that God says he will crush yeah. the head of the serpent.
Wow.
Because once the head is crushed, then the serpent has been dealt with. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ comes. When he deals a blow to Satan, he basically disarms Satan because the wages of sin is death. So death is the ultimate weapon that the enemy has on account of our sin. We talked about Romans 6:23. What we deserve is death. So Satan's biggest weapon against all of us is death. That is what he keeps brandishing in front of us. Okay? So by Jesus coming and dealing with death, he basically crushes the head of the serpent. Where is the sting of death? You know, Paul writes, right? The sting of death has been dealt with. And, you know...
Hebrews chapter 2 as well.
Exactly.
Verse 5 and 6.
Thereabouts, right?
Okay.
And the scriptures, it's not the scriptures. Someone talks about... Is that John Newton who talks about the death of death in the death of Christ? The death of death. Jesus killed death on account of what he did on the cross. So that we are, now that Christ is the firstborn from among the dead, deals a decisive blow to death, and we are therefore guaranteed that we shall also rise with him. And that is why it's important that we begin with this whole idea of the seed of a woman is going to crush the head of the serpent.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, but that was so clear.
Yeah.
I think the scripture, just for integrity of scripture, is Hebrews 2, verse 8 and 9, where death keeps knocking at our door and we fear of death that's chasing us. So I think I love the beauty. I mean, it's just beautiful and how the scripture is so consistent. Even Jesus being born of Virgin Mary was a prophecy.
Yes.
Isaiah talking about it in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Yeah. And guys, look at 1 Timothy 3:16, talks of great indeed we confess the mystery of godliness. The number one, he was manifested in the flesh. Number two, vindicated by the spirit. Number three, seen by angels. Number four, proclaimed among the nations.
Wow.
Number five, believed in the world.
Mm.
And number six, taken in on glory.
Mm.
I think just appreciating that God coming, becoming man and coming on earth is a mystery.
Yes.
It's a mystery beyond our comprehension.
Mm.
And perhaps sometimes conversation and discussions might not be enough. Jesus says that the things, you know, of this, you know, the things of heaven is revealed to babes, but the wise and the people of understanding can't really see the whole thing. So I think it's quite a lot of ministry, but the most important thing we've got to do is to put faith or the good things that Christianity doesn't conflict with reason. And yeah, so I think let's look at Jesus' perfect life, him living a perfect life, you know, life of obedience under the law. You know, talked a bit of it, but why was that important? Why was that important, perhaps even as we come to an end? Because Hebrews 4:15 says that he lived on earth yet without sin.
Yeah.
Why was that important? Could God just forgive him?
He was tempted in every way, yet without sin. That is important because God's standard require nothing short of perfection. God expects that we live perfect lives. Perfection is what he demands. And on account of our sin, we cannot meet that perfect standard. And so the only way that sinful man can be accepted before God is on account of the righteousness of Christ. The appropriated righteousness of Christ. So that he takes our sin. There's a divine exchange at the cross where he takes our sin and he gives us his righteousness. Someone gives this analogy that I think is beautiful. He says, imagine in school having this student who can just not make head or tail of a certain subject. He's always failed in this subject. Try as much as he may, he just is not making head or tail of the subject. He's failing the subject all the time.
Sorry, Bill.
It's okay.
And
then someone comes, another student comes, and he gets perfect scores in this subject all the time. He's getting 100% all the time, while you're getting the F's all the time. And then what this student does is every time he sits for this paper, your name is what he writes on the script.
Goodness.
And on your script of failure, it is his name that is written there.
Wow.
So that his perfection
is
counted on you.
Wow.
And your sin is counted against him. That is what happened at the cross.
Wow.
He pays the price for our sins
and
gives us the gift of his righteousness.
Wow.
And that is why it was important that he lived a perfect life. Because only then could God's perfect standards be met.
Wow. Bill, that was profoundly great, or we can say greatly profound. I think you did so well in just unpacking that. And Stan, what's your take on that? Jesus' perfect obedience under the law, why was it important?
I think it was important because only that would suffice before a holy God.
Mm.
Nothing else would.
Wow.
Right?
Mm.
It's only God is so holy that God would be the only one to die on our stead, to meet God's demands for justice, right?
Mm-hmm.
No one else could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took God himself,
mm-hmm.
a perfect God,
mm-hmm.
Who now is fully God and fully man, God incarnate, to
mm-hmm.
come and live that perfect life for
mm-hmm.
us.
Mm-hmm.
There is this hymn, I Cling to Christ and Marvel at the Cross,
mm-hmm.
where it says that God, in our stead, he mastered the daunting law,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Such that he meets every single requirement of God,
mm-hmm.
Such that we would be allowed to receive mercy, you
mm-hmm.
see,
yeah.
and to walk scot-free. And so
yeah.
it's very, very important. It just goes ahead to.
Mm-hmm.
To shed more light on the holiness of God,
wow.
that none else could ever
mm-hmm.
do this apart from God himself,
mm-hmm.
right?
Wow.
None of us could do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you, Stan. Thank you guys for making it so clear that only a second perfectly obedient Adam could undo what the moral failures that had been caused by the first Adam.
Yeah.
And Paul talks about it so clearly in Romans chapter 5 as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. I think we can also end by just making clear the message of the gospel again to the unbeliever, and even to the believer, even to the Christian. Perhaps you go to church every Sunday and you think you know the gospel. But truly, today I read a quote by Martin Lloyd-Jones that I used to think I'm a Christian till one day the gospel was presented to me. Yeah, and I realized I've never been a Christian. I've been a church goer, a Bible study goer, but I'm not a Christian.
Mm.
Bill, would you kindly please summarize again the message of the gospel to people to get outside there, so that whoever has not put their faith in Christ, perhaps they consider this important message. Thank you.
And I think I'll do it by just reading Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 5.
Oh, thank you.
And allow the text to speak for itself.
Yeah.
Galatians 4:45 says,
mm-hmm.
"But when the fullness of time had come,
mm-hmm.
God sent forth
wow.
his Son,
mm-hmm.
born of a woman,
mm-hmm.
born under the law,
mm-hmm.
to redeem those who are under the law,
wow.
so that we might receive
mm-hmm.
adoption as sons." That is the divine exchange you've been talking about.
Wow.
And it's a gift that is freely offered to you and I.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you. How shall we escape if we neglect this?
Such a great salvation.
How shall we escape?
Yeah.
God, we need these guys. It's all that we need.
Mm.
It's all that we need. All that can fill that hole in our lives.
Mm.
You know, that hole that exists in our hearts that we seek to fill with other things around us.
Mm.
May God help us. I pray that, just in case you haven't put your faith in Christ, I pray that you pray for us. God will open your heart and mind and just to see this. I pray that God will grant you repentance, sorrowness that will lead you to repentance.
Mm.
Keep praying, you'll surely do so. He says that he's a reward of those who seek him earnestly.
Mm.
Thank you so much, guys, for being part of this. Thank you, Stan. Thank you, Bill. It's an honor.
Yeah,
I think it's an honor, and looking forward to the next episode. Please, if you haven't listened to the previous episode before this one, consider listening. Episode number 57, where we had an introduction of this series. We're talking about the divine dilemma and the gospel. Please consider. Till next time, for now, that was Mark, Bill, and Stan. For now, we say
bye.